Sunday, November the 23rd.
Welcome to the Spurlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
Great job. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. My name's Simon, if you don't know. I'm also part of the team here. Feels like we're a team or a family. And next week proper, we're going to get into Christmas. But Socrates very famously said that an unexamined life is not worth living. An unexamined Christmas might not be worth celebrating. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the name's gone out of my head. What's that ride called at Centre Parks when you go down that tube? The tornado or something. What's it called? The cyclone. The cyclone. And four of you sit on this inflatable kind of boat thing and you start going down this windy, sort of pathway, river that's moving. And you know that in just a couple of seconds, and there's nothing you can do about it, you're going to be plunged, what feels like into a vertical black drop. And that's why it's called the cyclone. And this time of year can feel like that. It doesn't matter what you do, you're already on that river that's moving, and you're going to go in whether you like it or not. We're going to spend a little bit of our time this morning just stepping back to see if we can take a little bit of control before it takes control of us. And we're going to ask the big... Yep. We're waiting for you, Jake. It's okay, though, everybody. It's his birthday today, so he's allowed... Hip hip! As you can see, he's very bashful. He's very bashful. We got some more birthdays? Julie Kite's yesterday, yeah! Yep, birthday. Happy birthday, dear Julie! Happy birthday to you. Hip hip. Hey. Has anyone else got a birthday now? Jesus. Oh, what a great segue. Happy birthday. Yeah. What a great segue into. We're going to ask the question, why do festivals matter, before we then think about some of those principles and apply them to how we're going to journey through Christmas. Our goal is to journey through the next season at a slightly higher level of expectation than just surviving. That might be where you're at right now. If I can get through, I'll be pleased. What if we can raise the bar just a little bit? I want you to turn to the person or the people around you and answer this question. What is your favorite festival or celebration and why? Remember that celebrations can be birthdays, it can be your favorite team winning the championship, it can be a ritual that goes on in your world, and it's Thanksgiving this week that for some people is a really big deal, so don't just necessarily think about the Christian festivals, although you are allowed to think about the Christian festivals, but what is your favorite festival or celebration, and why does it matter to you? Why is it important? Why do you appreciate it? Off you go. Okay, Jake, what's your favourite festival and why?
I actually really like my wedding anniversary.
And who's your wife?
This lovely lady.
What? The 24th of November.
Which year?
Which is tomorrow.
Way! Favorite festival and why?
I really like Easter.
Because?
Well, I said it was controversial to prefer Easter, but apparently it's not so controversial. But I like the theological significance of Easter, so I try and be very... So I try and be very deliberate about making it a bigger deal conceptually than Christmas.
Okay, very good. Yeah, he's got some... That's deep. No, not at all. Absolutely. And do you like Christmas because?
I really like it. It's fun, isn't it? I like Father Christmas and all the good things. And Jesus.
And Jesus. Yeah, I like Father Christmas and Jesus.
Okay. Mine is Easter as well, because Jesus rose and he did exactly what he said he was going to do, and that's what my faith is based on.
Hey, first man in history to actually do what he said he would do.
Well, I quite like the World Cup.
Yay! Why?
Well, because it's a festival and a celebration of football. Lots of nations, and we can watch England underperform.
And Scotland are in. Scotland are in the World Cup. Come on, everybody.
How are Wales doing?
So good. Not so good. It's a stupid game anyway. No one likes it. No one likes it. Anybody, any thoughts over here on?
I think I like Maundy Thursday. Yeah. I absolutely love the evening meal and everything that represents.
Beautiful. And I thought around our tables, we've had lots of other conversations about the different things in our year, in the rhythm of our year, that really matters to us. Those moments that perhaps take us back. One of the things I like about Advent, coincidentally, is just that sense of there's been a sweep of another year, and sometimes there's been some really great things in that year. Sometimes it's been a really difficult year, but somehow there's the faithfulness of God as you go around again. And for different members of us here, that will be true at different stages through our 12-month cycle. The Old Testament is full of festivals. I spared Julia from reading the whole of Leviticus 23, which is literally a list of the festivals. So a bit like school teachers, you're never that far away from a holiday. You've either had one a few weeks back, or you've got a few coming, and that's not to say anything about school teachers. I can see they work really hard, don't they? Let's give it up for school teachers who work harder than most of us. But there's that sense in which their working has a rhythm. There's a sense in which God ordained in the Old Testament that we would have these rhythms. We would celebrate something that really mattered, go back to the ordinary, if I can put it like that, beginning to anticipate the next reset, the next ritual, the next celebration, the next festivity. And all over the Old Testament, their lives are punctuated by these rhythms. And I've just tried to draw out a few reasons why perhaps festivals are so important. Particularly in the Old Testament festivals, they're there to help us remember. To remember something significant that God has done. And we look forward to festivals quite often because we're remembering, not just perhaps because we remember what God has done. I mean, take even the World Cup, for example. When there is a football or another sporting occasion, I remember the people that I've gathered with for previous celebrations. I remember the people I've watched Wales lose to on other occasions, and then can anticipate with joy the same people being with us to go through the cycle all over again. And maybe part of our Christmas is to remember. There's a nostalgia about Christmas. My sister always used to say, it just won't be Christmas unless it snows. It's never snowed at Christmas. But we live with this sense of kind of nostalgia. It's a moment to pause, to look back, to give thanks. This is an interesting one, isn't it? In the rhythm of the festivals for the Old Testament, it was a really important moment to slow down. To stop the routine, to stop the regular, in order to take a pause. That's probably quite a challenge, isn't it, as we think about the way that we handle the festival coming. But nevertheless, a really important part of our festival time is usually that we're not at work, we're not doing our regular thing. It's a break from the routine and the rhythm of our ordinary days. And it gives space for grief if it's the World Cup. It gives space for joy if it's Christmas. But it does give space for how we feel. There'll be things about Christmas that will help you feel alive. There'll be things about Christmas that help you feel uncertain because it raises some sense of grief or loss, or it reminds you of something that's changed in the last year. You wish. The seat at the table is a very poignant metaphor, isn't it, for that sense at festival times. Those we have celebrated it with, perhaps, that we no longer do. Because, lastly, it's also a community time. It's a place when we're together with friends and family. It's a place when we often offer a welcome to people that perhaps we don't see as often as or as regularly as we might. Hospitality is important at Christmas time and during festivals, and hospitality is making people feel at home when you wish they were. And so as we embrace the spirit of hospitality, that was a joke, by the way, as we embrace the spirit of hospitality, we reach out to people that perhaps we wouldn't normally relate to. This is deep. If ordinary time shapes our habits, festival time shapes our hearts. Festival time shapes our... Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was looking for a response, and you did it on behalf of everybody. I appreciate that a lot. It's a hard crowd, isn't it? So, here we go. Three things about celebrating festivals. With intention. So we want to plan. We don't want our festivals to happen by accident. And this is a challenge for some of us, isn't it? Because it can feel overwhelming. And we, because it feels overwhelming, we go into freeze, or maybe flight, or some of us even go into fight, because it's overwhelming. But actually, what is it to take what's important about this season intentionally, and to be deliberate about it? With expectation. I expect to pause. I expect to encounter the goodness of God. I expect to reconnect with friends and family. I expect to find a break from my ordinary everyday rhythms. With welcome, there are people that I will open up my heart more deliberately and more intentionally to. And with honesty, there'll be things about this Christmas that'll be rock hard, and there'll be things about this Christmas that'll bring me joy. And it's okay to live with both of those side by side. Before we come and think about Christmas, particularly, and Claire's going to lead us, I'm going to invite you to share in a mini festival with me. A mini festival can take 20 seconds. Because a festival is when we stop, remember, appreciate, and have hope for the future. We can do that at any moment of any day. Most of us can find 20 seconds in our lives to pause, to remember, to reflect, to with gratitude give thanks, and to move forward with hope. And this might be a very helpful antidote to your Christmas. You ready? 5 seconds just to be conscious of your breath. Breathe out slower than you breathe in. There you go, there's your 5 seconds. That wasn't difficult. But you've paused, you've broken yourself away from what you were doing. 5 seconds to remember something you are grateful for. Five seconds to whisper a thank you for that moment, that opportunity, that circumstance, that friendship. 5 seconds to be grateful. And 5 seconds to hope for the future. Because we are present and God is present with us.
Brilliant. Might want to take a photo of that. We'll put it online as well so you can have your own mini festivals this week. I would suggest you do it with one of those little celebrations that you can buy. Eat the chocolate at the same time. That's a mini festival in my eyes. You can breathe and eat. This is possible. I've proved it many times. Right, so that's all great, but how on earth do we do it? How on earth do we face Christmas intentionally? I think you're going to not only need the people around your table for the next 20 minutes, but you might need something to write things down. So the beautiful Katie has got paper and pens. If that's how you work, you might want to get your phone out, your iPad, whatever you've got with you to get open your notes page. So if you'd like paper, wave at Katie now, because some of you are that. And if you would like to get your phones out, this is permission to do that in church. Do not check Instagram, WhatsApp, all of that. Go straight to your notes page, friends. If Be Real goes off though, you're allowed to take a photo of me. That's officially permission. Jake's just following you around, Katie. Thanks, Claire. Okay, everyone ready? So if you've been hanging around in Burlington long enough, you will know that we love the triangle shape, which helps us live a little bit more like Jesus did. And Jesus lived a life of perfect balance. And do you know what? He managed to do that through festivals like Passover as well. So there is therefore no excuse why we can't live a little bit like this through the festival of Christmas. And so Jesus managed to spend intentional time with God, him and God. Early in the morning, he would get up to pray. He would spend time with him, his Father. That's where his fuel came from for the day, to spend time listening to what God had planned for the day, listening to what God needed to encourage him about, sending him in on his way. So there is a blueprint of Jesus doing just that. But there's also a blueprint of Jesus spending time with his disciples, with the other people he was on the journey with. And for us, you're sat round a table with them now. Say hello, good morning, lovely to have you here. This is church family. Jesus travelled with his 12 disciples and all the hanger-oners. They were his church family. We're representing that here around our tables today. But very importantly, Jesus came to seek and serve the lost. Seek and save the lost, in fact. We're not just sent to be a holy huddle, we're sent to be a kingdom movement. All right, we'll do that, won't we, Abby? Come on. We're sent to be a kingdom movement. We are God's hands and feet to others this Christmas. We are called to shine brightly with the real reason of Christmas, not just Santa. Sorry, Sarah. We are called to be salt and light in a world that really needs to know. Really needs to know the difference that God makes in our lives. And so God has kind of given us that little example in Jesus on how to live, but I've added an of in there as well, because we are one family here at Burlington, and we are of Burlington. So you are representing God, but also you are part of this family. And as a family, we want to help each other do this really, really well, which is why we're doing this before the Christmas rush kicks in. So we're going to think a little bit about how this works with Christmas. But before we do, with just the person next to you, not the whole table, so find a friend, person next to you, have a little discuss about how you managed last year. Oh, that didn't go so well, bombed. How did last year go? Did you manage to achieve this? Please, please start with something you're celebrating. Don't go to the, I was a failure, Christmas was awful, everybody fell out, the turkey wasn't cooked. I don't want those stories. What did you do well? Do you remember reading an Advent book that actually really helped you? Do you remember coming to a carol service and really having a moment where you got to praise Jesus? Do you remember sharing something with a neighbour? You know, how did you do last year? Do you felt you lived in balance? That might be a bit more of a harder question. But you've got 2 minutes just with the person next to you. How did you do last year? If you're married to the person next to you, be kind. Just. Oh, hi, husband. Just another 30 seconds. Okay, if you want to bring your conversation to a close, we're going to think about each of those things right now. So we're going to start with our up, and we're going to think a little bit about planning how we might do that well this Christmas. Last Christmas was last Christmas. Wasn't it lovely? It was great. But we're about to have Christmas 2025, and so this is your planning time. This is your intentional pause so that you can actually begin to think about how you're going to do this Christmas well. So let's begin with our up. Now, one of the well-known verses we have at Christmas is from Isaiah, and it says this. There is a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And we often think, oh, that was John the Baptist. But actually, that word prepare there is really, really important for us today. How are you going to prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus again? How are you going to prepare your heart, not just your to-do list? I don't know about you, but when Christmas is coming, my rhythm of prayer gets very interrupted. Instead of being fueled by God's power, I'm often tired and running off my own steam and lots of chocolate. I miss opportunities to share Jesus with a friend because actually I'm too busy rushing to the next thing or remembering that I missed Christmas jumper day at school or whatever it was. I feel rushed rather than expectant. I feel weary rather than joyful. Am I on my own? Okay, a few of you are with me. And so I've got a couple of questions for us on the next slide that say, are you willing to make space in your life this Advent to be still and know that he is good. And are you willing to be with God this Advent before you actually do anything? It's gone a bit quiet in here. They're really difficult questions, aren't they? I bet you've already planned when you're doing your Christmas tree, or you've probably already planned seeing friends for a drink or whatever it is. But have you actually thought about where you're going to make some space for God this Christmas? It's not an easy question. It's not an easy invitation, but we want to pause today and give you that chance. So if I can have my next slide. At every point, we're going to ask this question. What can I do about my up? And what is Burlington going to do to help you this Christmas? Because when we think about festivals, and I'm in charge of planning the festivals, I look at this up in an out triangle, and we try and shape everything that we do collectively around one of those things. And so there are a number of things, I think, that we as Burlington family can help each other to do. But first, let's think about what can I do. So some of my helpful suggestions, and you're going to talk about this with your neighbour in a moment, is I actually have, for the last few years, always read an Advent book. You can get loads of them. They're all out there. Google an Advent book. I did one on the Song of Mary last year by Amy Eyre Ewing. That was amazing. Just a little bit every day that focuses your mind. The other thing I've done is I've read a chapter of Luke a day, because hopefully there's 24 chapters in Luke. One for each day of Advent. So maybe you could just say, I'm going to read a chapter of Luke every single day. Some of us use the Lectio 365 apps. They always have an Advent series that they run through, 10 minutes in your morning to listen and encourage you to pray. But actually, I found the evening prayer ones on there really, really helpful through that, because they take a moment at the end of the day to pause and reflect on what the Advent story is around. What I want you to do with your neighbour right now is share something you've done in Advent, or maybe around your tables. It doesn't have to just be your neighbour. What have you done in Advent that's been helpful? Some of us light a candle and it burns over the whole time. I think I got to day 7 last year before I forgot about it, but we're moving on from that this year. It's a new year. Got last year's to burn. But actually, what did you do in Advent that was helpful? Could you just share some ideas around the table? You've literally got 3 minutes to do it, but make sure everyone gets a quick chance to share a good idea that you've done through Advent that helps you with your relationship with God. Go. Another 20 seconds. I'm loving some of the conversations around here about how you're engaging your family in that, perhaps your kids, your teenagers. That's really helpful. Okay. Let's just have a moment of pause. Maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to just look at your piece of paper, get your notes out. having heard what others have done, having heard perhaps what I've done, what one thing this Advent could you do? I've put some suggestions up there from the Burlington Life. You could sign up for that prayer room today, make an hour space. You could commit to come to the next couple of Sundays because we're going to be exploring together what our theme is, the unlikely guests. I'm going to have a worship night on the 11th of December, things that Burlington are going to encourage you to do, to spend time with God. But what are you going to do this Advent? Why don't you write it down? There's an intentionality, isn't there, about that? I've given you three up there, space for three you could write down, but let's just at least take one. What am I going to do this Advent to make time for my relationship with God? I think if you're going to do that, you'll probably do that better if someone holds you account. So over coffee, I'd love you to tell someone else what you're going to do this Advent and say, ask me how it's going. Give them the permission. I know. I'm going to tell you now. You can tell each other now if you really want to, but I'm going to move on. We're going to think about our relationship with other Christians this Christmas. Our relationship with other Christians this Christmas. So, another Bible verse for you. I love the collective nature of the Psalms. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. We're going to do that this Christmas, aren't we? We're going to sing our socks off. I cannot wait to find out who's going to sing the soprano part of O Come, Let Us Adore Him. Who's going to go for our angels from the realms of glory? That really high bit. I really look forward to that. We're going to make a joyful noise, not necessarily a pretty noise, to Jesus this Christmas. And we're going to do that together, aren't we? We're going to do that together. I think festivals in the Old Testament, like Simon reminded us, had a community nature, a collective nature. And so as God's family, let's encourage one another to celebrate, to feast, and to have some fun. You may crack out your Christmas jumpers from next week. Sarah, good news. Simon said in a public meeting 2 weeks ago that he's going to wear a Christmas jumper this year. 25 years of working with him, he's never had one. So he's actually glaring at me right now. We're excited too, Sarah. So let's think about our collective nature. How, what are we going to do together? Here are a few of my good ideas. I encourage you maybe to read a chapter of Luke. Why don't you do that with someone else? It doesn't have to be you're both in the same place at the same time, but maybe you're going to do that as your community group or your missional community. Maybe you're going to, or you've got a WhatsApp of praying friends. Maybe you could do that together and just simply put on WhatsApp every single day something that struck you about the story. Perhaps you could read an Advent book with others or something that kind of gets you to really dig into God's word with another person. I wonder how you're celebrating as your missional community. One of my favorite invites of the year is the Time to Sow Christmas meal. Last year I had 3 Christmas meals on the same day. It was amazing. I didn't need to eat for about 4 days. It was brilliant. So how is your missional community going to be celebrating? How are you going to enjoy time with those that you're seeing around there now? And perhaps you're a gift person or a Christmas card writer. How could you use that to encourage somebody this year? perhaps a thoughtful gift or a card with a Bible verse in, and or something that you love about being in church family with them, a thoughtful piece of words would be amazing. Or perhaps you're more of a gift, an act of service kind of person. If I keep my car clean, Rich is the happiest person in the world because he's an act of service kind of guy. Could you serve someone in your family or your friends or church family this year? If you would like to serve within the church family, there are loads of opportunities over Christmas. Come see me. I'll help you find your place. There are a few things that are going on Burlington-wise that you can come and make a joyful noise in. I particularly want to bring your attention to those of you who won't be at work or school that the 18th of December is our daytime carols, and we're excited to be having the Phoenix Brass Band lead us in our carols. We are going to have to sing loud to get over the noise of the trumpets. It's going to be brilliant. So we invite you to our daytime carols, which is a new thing we haven't done before. So we'd love to invite you to that. So pause for a moment before we think about our out. What are you going to do collectively with someone else this year for Christmas? Might, again, just make a commitment to one thing, but you might want to spend some more time at home. Me and the Christians God's placed me to travel with. How are we going to celebrate Christmas together this year? Write it down. Right, I'm moving you on fast, but I'm expecting you to do some homework, so make sure you look at this again at home so that you pause and make some time. Let's think about our out. Again, one of the most famous passages we read at most carol services is John chapter 1, and the message says this: the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, the word being Jesus. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. This year, there has been signs of a quiet revival across this nation. And I talked earlier about not just being a holy huddle, but being a kingdom movement. And that is who we are. And Christmas is one of the greatest opportunities we have as Christians to share what we believe. People are surprisingly interested. And the Quiet Revival research that came out mid-April, and then there's been other research, says, are saying that people are more open to God than they have been for at least 20 years. There is a change in the temperature. Bible sales have rocketed. Like, people are buying and reading the Bible. That's amazing. But also, there's research about how people are wanting to be invited to church. Hello, friends. Anyone want to invite someone to church? I've invited lots of people to church and they often don't come, but there seems to be a new openness to an invitation. In the summer, 92 people were baptized on the beach of Bournemouth. A bit chilly, even in the summer. 92 baptisms on a go of people finding faith. There is a new temperature. I am convinced that God is asking us to get stuck in. And it is saying, Christmas is coming, friends, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, are you ready to join in with God's plans? Simon's going to come up, and he's going to answer this really easy question for us. What are you going to do this Christmas, Si, that helps you live more intentionally with your non-Christians?
Well, I'm flirting with the idea of doing something that I did a few years ago, which was, instead of sending Christmas cards, I decided that instead of doing that, I'd ring the people up that I hadn't had contact with for a while, and to engage them in conversation. After ringing them all up, I realized why I settled for Christmas cards. But that's another story. It creates an opportunity for us, even in our close, It's a bit like the Christmas card thing, to do something that you can't normally do or feels a little bit more awkward. So if you say to your neighbors typically, hey, do you want to come into my house for a drink? They kind of go, why? I've got my own house. But somehow at Christmas, it's more acceptable and it's a little bit easier. So we will take the things, like the Christmas card thing, like the use of our home, and we will deliberately and intentionally use the headline of the season to invite people fundamentally into relationship. Christianity is about a relationship with God that people understand through a relationship, firstly, with us. So it will be picking up the phone instead of sending a card. And I'm thinking this year particularly of those people who've been kind of significant in our world over the last year that were sort of fleeting. You meet people, perhaps you see them somewhere for a couple of days or you see them for a week, and then they go back to their life and you go back to yours and you wonder a little bit about what's going on for them. I'm going to ring them up this year and say, hey, just thinking about you. It's Christmas time. How's it going?
Anybody fancy that? Yeah. It's an achievable one, isn't it? It's an achievable one. So I'm taking seriously this invitation thing this year. And on the, my brain's dead, 17th of December, we have once again been invited by the Greyhound to go and lead carols in their garden. We've done it for about 5 years. The first year, it was so cold, Becky couldn't play the guitar because it was so cold. The next few years have been lovely. It's been actually quite mild, very pleasant. So we run carols in the garden outside the Greyhound. Dan, the landlord, said to me it was his favourite Christmas moment of last year. I'll take that. I told him it was the best mulled wine I'd had last year as well. So, you know, mutual love. But I've invited people this year, whereas previously I didn't. And that's my confession. And every single person I've invited has said yes. That invitational approach is really significant. So perhaps you're thinking, do you know what? Greyhound carols, that sounds great. I'm going to invite someone. Or perhaps that daytime carols. Do you know what? Just ask. The worst they can say is no. And it's not that embarrassing at Christmas to say no, because usually people have got other things on, haven't they? Perhaps the carols by candlelight on the 21st is the time to invite that neighbour, that friend, that colleague, that family that you know. And what will happen at all of those will be very similar to what we do every Sunday. We will worship God together. The talk perhaps will be a little bit more evangelistic, a bit more short. But actually, it's an opportunity for you to introduce them, not just to God, but to the church family. And as Simon reminded us, people are desperate for a relationship. So this is my encouragement to you. Invite people. Invite people. And my second encouragement is, let's be the most welcoming family we can be. We will have a lot of people who don't usually come into church, definitely on the 21st, but maybe on the 14th for our family service as well. How can you be the most welcoming Christian? Well, you can point people in the direction of the toilets. You can offer them a cup of tea. You can make sure that there's room for them to sit somewhere. Let's be the family that is opening up their home, which is these buildings, and welcoming people in. Katie mentioned Find Appeal. We're running Open Door again on Christmas Day. Again, you might want to invite someone to come to that free meal on Christmas Day for anyone on their own. So there's loads of things that are going on Burlington-centric that you can invite people to, and we would love you to, but we'd also love you to be the most welcoming family when they do walk in the door and say, it's lovely to see you, or here's the toilet, or would you like a cup of tea? All of those things you do at home, let's do them here and be the most welcoming family we can be. So, again, take a moment. Having heard what we have talked about, what are you going to do in that out relationship this year? Write it down. Okay. So in theory, you should have three things written down. One about your relationship with you and God. Something about being church family together. And something about how you're going to engage your non-Christian friends this year. I would encourage you to make a bit more time, to spend some time intentionally planning. Maybe asking these three questions. What is God saying to me? What am I feeling about that? And what am I going to do about it? It is a busy season. I'm not encouraging you to add another 25 things to your to-do list. Find something that works for you. Something that is important to you to do. And let's do Christmas differently this year. Let's do it like Jesus did. Let's celebrate together. Let's worship God. And let's open up the story of Jesus to a world who really needs to hear about it. Why don't we stand together? And Lord, I'm recognizing the opportunity that is before me. As I stand here a couple of weeks before Christmas, I want to thank you for the opportunity this Christmas festival gives us this year. An opportunity to find out more about who you are and how you work and why you gave your son. Lord, we ask for each of us that we encounter you, Lord Jesus, this year. That we won't be too busy worrying about turkeys or cranberry sauce or whatever it is that consumes our minds. That we miss what you're trying to say to us about how we're loved and chosen and that you came to this world for me. And help me to celebrate well with my Christian family. May we at Burlington fill this place with joyful praise. And Lord, may we also be brave and courageous in sharing who you are to us so that others may come to know you. Help us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.